This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Because it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
Different Strokes Flashback. Bringing pop culture back from the yesteryears.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, because we're going to talk about Grindr later.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping that we could get some Grindr fans to tell us why they like it so much.
Yeah, some Grindr users. Anyone out there who uses the Grindr app on their phone to cruise or just to see, you know, if there are any...
They're just curious.
Curious available men out there.
Yep.
If you're a Grindr user, let us know.
Yeah, 0427-JOY949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. I just want to know what do you get out of it?
What do you get out of it? Because obviously both of us haven't used it. Oh, well, Jade is only getting into it now.
I'm looking at someone in a pair of bathers right
Excuse
now.
Excuse me. You are not cruising when I'm about to do my segment.
Yeah, totally am.
Put down the phone.
This dude's got way better apps than you do.
Disrespected. Disrespected. In any case, look, we're flashing back tonight when Jade puts away her phone. We're flashing back to the 90s when, you know, Tamagotchis were just all the rage in the 90s, Jade.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when I decided I wanted to do Tamagotchis for our flashback segment, it kind of prompted me to look at other toys in the 90s that kids were all crazy about.
Mm-hmm.
And I've come to a conclusion that there's a bit of a theme with digital pets.
What's that?
Well, I just think the 90s, we were just crazy about, rather than having real pets, let's just have like robot pets, like the robot dog or the robot cat or something like that.
The robot dog.
Remember the robot dog, the Aibo?
Yeah.
If you guys don't remember, you just need to watch Janet Jackson's Doesn't Really Matter music video.
There you go. A pop music reference for everything.
You knew what's coming, Jade. So, I mean, I watched that video, right? And I'm like, wow, that is so 90s, the Aibo dog. I remember wanting one, but my mum never got me
Now,
one.
Were Tamagotchis banned at your school?
Okay, here's the deal, right? Because everyone was going to bring it anyway,
mm-hmm.
It's not like Australian schools or whatever where, you know, you realise everyone's going to rebel and everyone's going to bring it anyway. You might just lax the rules. No, not in Malaysian public schools. If it's banned, it is banned. You best not be caught with it.
Yeah. Well, interesting, this wasn't in the 90s, actually. This is about 3 or 4 years ago. They must have come back into fashion because there was a lady that I was working with at the time who would bring in her son's Tamagotchi, right, to work with her because she would take care of it while he was at school because it was banned.
That is crazy. My mama would never do that for me. She'd rather see that thing die.
Yeah.
So here was the deal, right? So back when I was going to school in the 90s in Malaysia, I had a Tamagotchi.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I've only ever had two. The problem was I had them for about 2 weeks and then not only did the pets die, mm-hmm. so the digital pet die,
yeah.
but I would actually somehow end up breaking the device.
Mm-hmm.
I would stack and the thing would be in my pocket. And the screen will get cracked or I'll drop it in a drain.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad just got sick of buying me new ones.
Question. If the digital pet dies, can you still use the device to get a new one?
Yeah, I think it resets and you can get a new pet.
Okay, so it's like there's no 3 strikes rule or anything like that?
I don't think so. But then again, I had mine for 2 weeks, so I never know. You know, it's because the device got smashed. But in any case, look, it was a big deal in the 90s. They did a recent count, Jade.
Mm-hmm.
In the year 2008, they counted that over 70 million Tamagotchis have been sold worldwide.
Gosh.
That's so many.
Yes.
I mean, if I had two, some kids might have probably had maybe five at most.
Yeah.
Because they might get stolen, they might get lost. And, you know, you swap them amongst your friends. I don't know if your sisters ever did that. Did your sisters ever get into Tamagotchi?
No, I don't think my parents ever were a big fan of us getting Tamagotchi.
Because, I mean, for those of you who don't know what it is, they're little handheld devices, right? They're about the size of an egg. They've got three buttons on it. So basically what it is it's like a pet, except you carry it everywhere in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, by pushing the buttons, you get to feed it, you get to walk it, play with it. More interestingly, clean up after it. So if you leave it for a couple of hours, you know, you might come back to your Tamagotchi and see like piles of poop everywhere. So you have to clean up after it. You can play games with it and all that, and you can chart its growth apparently. Now they came in a variety of animals, Jade. I'm not sure if you know this.
No.
But the obvious ones are like cat and dogs.
Mm-hmm.
But they also come in like dinosaurs and monsters as well.
Okay.
I think when I was
little
a kid,
boy market.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, but a lot of girls had them as well when I was going to school.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think the first one I had was a duck.
Uh-huh.
It was a duck. I know, unconventional, but it was a duck. And then when that one died, I got a monster one.
How do you play with the duck?
The same way you play with
chucking a bone to it? Or
you don't throw a bone at your duck. I don't know what you do. You make it run around or something.
Make it swim around the pond.
Make it swim around the pond. Anything to get your pet the right exercise it needs and deserves. But it was just so, because we never had pets, right, when I was growing up, Jade, because we weren't allowed to have dogs or cats. So this Tamagotchi was like the closest thing I had to a real pet,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I would say, oh, everyone, I got a puppy. Joking, I got a Tamagotchi puppy. You know, it was really daggy, but it was just the best we could do at the time. And it was such a big deal at school, Jade. Like so many people would bring them to class. And when the teacher wasn't looking, they would take it out of their pockets and they would play with it and feed it. But the funniest thing was seeing how many people would get up and excuse themselves to go to toilets, or how many people would be taking them out during lunch break, because that was really the only time you could get it out and play with it without, you know, getting in trouble.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a big deal, and I kind of wish I kept my Tamagotchi.
Did you have to go on any Tamagotchi funerals or – I mean, I imagine there are pets dying everywhere.
Okay, well, here's the deal, right? When your pet dies, apparently there's a picture of a cemetery that comes up.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, picture of a tombstone and even a little spirit that flies up.
Yeah.
So it's a bit somber like that. But I don't think it's like a collective.
Did you find experience. It traumatic at all?
I kind of found it traumatic because when my first Tamagotchi pet died, I didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
You know, I thought we were going to have a long life together. You know, I was charting its growth. It was fine. And I think I left it somewhere over the weekend, maybe at my grandma's house over the weekend. And always bad news. Got back on Monday, piles of poop everywhere, underfed. Yeah. It died.
Well, see, you know, I've played a bit of Sims in my time.
Oh, no, Jade.
And one of my Sims died at one point, and I found that really traumatic to the point where I couldn't do it anymore.
You couldn't get back on a horse.
Yeah, I did eventually, but it was like, okay, well, I need to put that away for a while.
Okay, because I never played with Sims before, Jade. Enlighten me. How does a Sim die? Like, how can it die?
Well, mine died in quite traumatic circumstances where there was a barbecue fire that went out of control and he basically couldn't escape.
Who set the fire? Did you have an inquiry?
No, he was barbecuing and this fire started and, you know, it got really traumatic basically. And
so you watched your Sims person
and so
burn
did,
to death.
And so did the Sim family stand around and watch what was going on. Yeah. And then he decided to haunt the rest of the family for the rest of the time. And they kind of put like the little tombstone right near where the person dies. It's really freaky.
Can they haunt? I didn't know that.
Yes.
It's not like my Tamagotchi pets ever haunted the new ones.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been funny though.
It was weird.
Welcome to Different Strokes Online. Log in to hear Jade and Dave's perspectives on online media.
The internet should not be used as a high-tech babysitter. We need to make sure that when our kids surf the web, they don't drown.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, as we speak, I am looking at pictures of bare-chested men.
That is just strange, Jade, because you think that I'd be the one who's doing it. But Jade is currently on Grindr, so all you fellas out there, hit her up.
Yeah.
She doesn't have a profile pic or anything, do you?
No, I haven't. Yeah, I just signed up this afternoon.
You are still scrolling on it. It's put that away, please. Okay. But look, in any case, we got an SMS here from Andrew who says he uses Grindr mainly just to cure boredom and to chat with local guys, even though most of them are only after one thing, he says.
Yeah.
So, Jade, as soon as somebody hits you up on Grindr, don't be expecting something lasting, maybe.
Really?
I don't know, but... It's okay, so tell me first, before you go into Grindr,
yeah.
What's the talent like in this area?
What?
How would you rate the talent? Because just so you guys know, we're in the Joy Studios, we're in Bourke Street, in Melbourne City itself.
I'm not impressed. But you're having impressed? Said that, there's a lot of bodies going on. And, you know, I prefer a nice boy. I'm like a geek fan.
Yeah, so you like the nice, cute face shots.
Yeah, I do. There's a lot of, I'm taking a picture of my bare chest using my camera in my phone. It's very kind of, you know, oh, here's a picture of me in a Speedo.
So do you think, let's go back to the ones who's just who's only put up a picture of their chest.
Yeah.
Do you think that's to protect their identity, like just to create a bit of anonymity, or do you think that's just seedy?
Well, okay, so there's pictures here that someone's put pictures of clouds, for example.
Okay, and that someone else has put
pictures, and someone's put pictures of their feet in runners.
Mm.
I think I would prefer that to to a chest shot. Because it's kind of a bit...
do you have a foot fetish?
Oh, here we go. Someone with the bicep picture.
Oh, you knew that was coming.
Yeah.
You knew that was coming. It's all about the biceps. It's all about those, you know... I don't question for a minute that these people work very hard at the gym and they just want to show off what they've got, Jade.
A picture of the beach? Oh, is that where he's going to take me?
What does your Grindr profile photo say about you should be our segment.
Yeah, totally should. Oh, there's the guy rock climbing.
Oh, that's nice. You know, rock climbing says a lot about you.
Yeah, it says
so. You're adventurous.
Yeah, I'm fit. I'm fit. I'm not afraid of heights.
Yeah, I'm a different type of gay. Don't stereotype me. I'm not necessarily into Cher, or maybe I'm very much into Cher and I like rock climbing too.
Yes, I'm a conflicting type of guy.
I am a different strokes kind of gay. I like my indie music and I like my Cher. You just have to message me to find out. You see, it's amazing how much we can read into someone's profile picture. Pick another profile picture for me.
Okay, let's have a look. What about this guy?
Okay, so Jade and I are cruising in the studios right now. That looks like a Sean Paul album cover.
It does.
He looks like a rapper. I don't think that's my thing.
What do you think about putting the hag in the picture with him?
Oh, the hag. Yeah. It says devotion.
Yeah?
It says devotion. What do you think, Jade?
Oh, you know.
A gay man putting his hag up in the photo. Oh, maybe it's two for the price of one. You never know.
It depends what they look like.
Yeah. So, Jade, tell us more about Grindr. Tell us.
Okay.
Tell us why it's such a phenomenon. Tell us what it seems to be doing for
According
you
According
right
to
now.
Their publicity, they've got about 600,000 men. Okay. So, it's gay men worldwide.
600,000.
Yeah, which isn't a huge...
It isn't a lot, is it?
It isn't a huge amount. But they say that they're growing by 2,000 a day, which is quite big. But they're saying currently they're the largest all-male location-based network in the world. So how is it different to, you know, Manhunt or whatever else? Mm. Basically, it's an app on your phone that you can...
I think it's really interesting.
Track your location.
I think it's really interesting, Jade, because back in the day when I was cruising and I was searching, looking for love, singing Young Divas.
Yeah.
back in the old days when I was cruising, I only had online dating. So it's not like I can see if there are any gays around me.
Yeah.
And sometimes, Jade, when you're walking down the street and someone catches your eye and you kind of go, I wonder...
Yeah.
If he bats for our team, which side of the rainbow spectrum are you on, young man?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to know. And if they're on Grindr, you can just look it up and go, hey, that's their profile. I know something. You know what I mean? I think there's a thrill in that, just knowing that someone you're checking out actually is, potentially interested or, you know, eligible.
eligible.
Anyway,
yeah, well, I mean, I guess the, you know, I at one point did look at Manhunt, if you do remember, Dave, back in the old days.
Back in old different strokes. I made Jake do all sorts of crazy things.
I did plenty of online dating in my time. but, like, you know, I kind of, it feels a bit in your face to have this kind of little app.
Do you think it's intimidating? Because if you're, if you've got your profile there and someone else, just someone who you, you know,
it's a bit stalkerish.
I think it's a bit stalkerish because you could be at a food court. You're not even searching, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're sitting there and you have your profile on. For all you know, there's some guy sitting right behind you that's just, you know, leering and acting all creepy because he knows that you're on there. So, you know, I think it, I want it to be something that you can turn on and turn off. Can you do that, Jade?
I think you can. I think you can turn it on and turn it off. But what I find quite kind of weird about the whole thing is, I don't know. See, I'm not in the psyche of why you would want to be involved.
I think it's good because you get to meet local men.
Yep.
And for the other reason I said, just, you know, sometimes your gaydar needs just a little boost in confidence because that guy that just walked past you might just go, oh, I'm not so sure. But
then what's with the body shots?
What's with, Jade, the body shots can mean a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Can mean I'm ready for whatever. But I just think, you know, some people want to protect their identity as well. You know, they could be, say, holding a very important position in business or whatever, and they don't want people to know they're gay, but they still want to cruise anonymously. And some people, frankly, are not looking for a relationship.
Aren't they going to be on found out eventually anyway?
Yeah, but...
Because isn't the whole point that you're supposed to talk to the person? Or is it really just, is it just a perv fest? Like, is there anything, are we getting anything out of it?
I mean, I just think it's, yeah, look, I personally think that's the reason, you know, it's good for cruising, it's good for perving. And apparently, you know, I have some friends that have Grindr and they say they've had really good conversations and really good chats with strangers mm-hmm. in the neighborhood. So it's kind of like part chat as well.
Apparently it's free to chat too, by the way. Like, yeah. So the app is free, that you can get a paid for version, but it doesn't cost you anything to chat person to person. So it's not like an SMS or anything like that.
You see, I think that's handy too.
Yep.
So, I think we could be seeing the end of online dating as we know it if this app takes off.
Well, when you think about it, the internet is becoming more and more mobile. So, of course, you know, there was eventually going to be a system that was going to use that technology just to get all nerdy
now,
on you.
Now, of course, Jade, the question on everyone's lips.
Is there a Grindr?
Is there a Grindr?
Yes, thank you, Petro from the Sound Museum, for coming up with that one. to my knowledge, no, there is no Grindr, but if you want to prove me wrong, go ahead.
Yeah, if there's like a lesbian version of Grindr, I'd be very interested. In fact, when I get my iPhone one day, hopefully in the next few months rather than decades.
Yeah.
I'll get a Grindr. Let's see how you feel, Jade, when I start cruising for women in front of you in the studio. Okay.
Instead of talking to you.
Yeah, that's right. I feel very unloved tonight, guys. So in any case, you're listening to Different Strokes on Joy 94.9.
Ding, you know, subscribe, download, let's hear it. Ding, you know, subscribe, download, let's hear it.
Subscribe to a Different Strokes guide to podcasts.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, what are you doing encroaching on my turf?
I don't know. I've never, ever done a podcast segment before because, truth be told, I don't listen to a lot of different types of podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
But this week, my boyfriend pointed me to a rather interesting one.
Yeah.
It's called The White House Features. Yeah. And it's exactly as the name suggests, Jade.
Yes.
Ins and outs of the White House, what happens behind the scenes. And it's...
Is it like West Wing in audio format?
It's interesting that you asked me that because that's naturally the first thing that would come to mind, right? Because, but of course, you're looking at me, Jade. I don't watch the West Wing.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in anything political.
Mm-hmm.
I should be, but I don't take an interest, really. I try because my boyfriend's interested in it. And so he showed me this over the weekend and I thought, hey, this actually is quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a couple of, you know, a couple of episodes that are kind of propagandary, PR boosting kind of exercise. Mm-hmm. And you kind of see right through that. But if you disregard those and go for the really fun ones.
Is there a gritty?
I don't know if it's real. Gritty. I don't know if it's gritty or real, but it's more like kind of human interest kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically it's the ins and out of the White House, like I said. You know, they have chats and special sort of celebrity guests, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
People that come to the White House.
Kanye rocks up. Is that what happens?
Kanye interrupts. I don't know. We didn't have a Kanye interrupting the White House.
Is it Diddy approved? The White House on his list. I don't know.
months and months ago, Jade and I talked about certain apps, and one of the apps was P. Diddy's app,
where
he tells you where all the coolest bars and nightclubs are.
What are the hip places to go to, basically?
So we made fun of that. We said, you know, that's on the Diddy approved list, and, oh, you know, would this be on the Diddy approved list? And I don't know if the White House will be on the Diddy approved list.
I'm sure it's, you know,
it's a cool place.
Yeah.
It's a cool place. And they've got lots of special guests like Steven Spielberg, Tom Hanks, Jimmy Fallon. Yeah. That's actually one of my favorite episodes that they had. So it was Jimmy Fallon going there on the 4th of July.
I'm very intrigued now. Like, it just sounds like here's a random cameo by a celebrity.
It's not so random because they're there to do something, right? So basically, it's anyone that comes to the White House. It's kind of like an interview with them. What are you doing here? Is this what you expected? Blah, blah, blah.
Who's the host?
There is no host,
per se. There's no Obama?
There's no Obama. Obama occasionally appears, but
Malia? No.
Who's that?
It's one of his daughters.
Really? Yes. I'm like, Malia, was she in Destiny's Child? Just sounds like, you know, one of the really cool names that they might have as a member of Destiny's Child. But no, turns out not. Malia Obama was not in DC. But occasionally, Michelle Obama does it.
Yeah.
And I really like Michelle.
Yeah.
You know, she's got great arms. Mm-hmm. She's so charismatic.
Should we give up on Michelle Williams and go for Michelle Obama instead?
I don't know. This Michelle Obama did not do We Break the Dawn. This Michelle Obama did not appear on RuPaul's Drag Race. So I'm not sure if I'm really feeling Obama.
Who would we have more of a chance of getting?
I don't know. Can we set our sights locally first, Jay? Can we maybe try Ricky Lee?
Okay, Ricky Lee.
She's over at Joy so much, or she used to anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just try Ricky Lee.
Okay.
I know she's only a couple of minutes down that way.
Should we try for someone locally called Michelle, maybe?
Yeah, Michelle from the patisserie, maybe.
Let me get on Grindr.
Yeah. If there's a Grindr app, the first Michelle you see within 300 metres of the studio.
We'll get her to come up.
Sorry, we can't get Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child, but you're the next best thing. But in any case, look, Michelle Obama, she did one of my favorite episodes on this White House Features podcast.
Mm-hmm.
She did one called, basically Christmas at the White House, where she talks about her idea for the theme that year and how she wanted to include everyone. And what they did was they had all these baubles, Christmas decorations from the previous, years. Mm-hmm. And what they did was they sent it to like lots of different councils, different local governments or schools or something. And everyone got to decorate their ball and send it back.
Yep.
And every ball would have their place in a White House.
Aww.
Which is sweet, isn't it? Because it's meant to be the people's house, and that's what she wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, you know, really lighthearted human interest stuff like that, Jade. And my favorite is when they made this thing called the Gingerbread White House.
Mm-hmm.
It is huge. If you go to our blog, which is you can find on joy.org.au/different strokes, our blog is there, and I put a picture of the Gingerbread White House on there. It is about as big as, I don't know, a size of maybe your keyboard, maybe a bit longer.
Yeah.
Not your computer keyboard, but your piano kind of keyboard. It is long, and it's quite tall. So it's maybe about this tall. How many inches is that, Jade?
No, I don't know.
Five, six.
Yeah, it looks like
12 inches.
My maths is terrible. 60 centimetres, maybe.
60 centimetres. Yeah, pretty tall White House.
Yeah.
It was interesting because they said it was made of pieces of gingerbread, so they will have like gingerbread panels for the walls, and they'll glue it together with chocolate. And wait, it is coated in white chocolate.
I hate white chocolate.
I love white chocolate, Jade.
I'm disappointed.
No, white chocolate White House. Come on.
White chocolate is not a real chocolate. Ugh.
It is so. Don't be chocolate elitist, you.
I am totally chocolate elitist.
But look, I would want a piece of that White House. I'm not sure what they did with it. I assume everyone ate it, but you know, they're really kind of human.
They sent it to all of the schools, and each one got their own piece.
Yeah, right. I bet you Malia Obama, if that's her name. Yeah,
she devoured it.
Yeah, she devoured it. You know, she's like, you know, forget the nation. I'm having this cake. It's in my house. But look, I mean, if you guys have a chance, you're vaguely interested, you know, if you're one of those people that romanticize the American government and the White House, mm-hmm. this will be an interesting podcast. It's called The White House Features. Mm-hmm. Have you been to the White House?
I have been to the White House. And, well, you know, you can't go past the lawn, basically. There's like a big fence.
You can't go in?
No, there's a big fence around it.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. Because there was, well, obviously in one of the episodes of this podcast, they had people coming into the White House for a tour.
They occasionally do them. The last time I was in Washington, D.C. was like right after September 11. So it's quite, it was very strict.
Yeah, don't even think about
it. Yeah, it was like these metal fences everywhere and you can kind of look at it through the cracks. It was like, yeah.
But it was really funny because there was one episode where people were doing the tour around the White House.
Yeah.
And there was this sweet-looking little old lady and she's just walking around. She's about to enter a room and then she looks up and she sees Michelle Obama standing right there, practically in front of the doorway, just smiling at her. And she just stands back and she's like stunned.
Yeah.
She's like, should I walk? Should I say hi? Am I meant to be here? And Michelle's like, come on in, come on in. And she gave her a hug and she greeted all these guests for about an hour.
Huh.
And that was just the whole episode. It was just a camera in a room, Michelle hugging all these people.
Wait, so this is a video podcast?
This is a video podcast, yes.
Huh.
That's why you can tell it's white chocolate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go check it out.
I just thought it was a very descriptive.
Oh, no. It's not overly that descriptive, but it's a video podcast, which I guess really helps because, you know, sometimes you want to watch something. You don't just want to listen it.
Yeah.
It's more fun to see a chocolate White House than hear about it.
Yeah, exactly.
In any case, if you want to catch up with us during the week, we've got so much energy.
Yes.
We'll give it all back.
Different Strokes. It has a Facebook page. You can look at us there or you can go to joy.org.au/different strokes.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.